coalition forces and begin striking selected targets of military importance.
It would be a decision which could only be taken once.
There's no argument over the choice between peace and war.
Unconfirmed reports about Gaddafi being captured.
This morning, I want to talk about the future of Europe.
Burning Point.
Hello and welcome to the show. With me, Екатерина Кудашкина. Why was the Israeli government so quick in recognizing the creation of a Kurdish state in Iraq? And what kind of new challenges does the newly emerging regional architecture pose to Israel? On the 29th of June, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said his country would support the creation of a Kurdish state. One of the reasons could be the Kurdish Peshmerga role in opposing the ISIS. And just to remind our listeners, ISIS stands for Islamic State of Iraq and Sham. This is a militant Sunni group with a declared goal of creating a caliphate in Iraq and a broader Middle East region. Recently, the ISIS shortened its name to simply Islamic State, the IS. So the IS has been the cause of the latest spike of violence in Iraq that seems to have provided a final blow that could result in the disintegration of Iraq as a country. The militant group is seen as another force posing serious threat not only to Iraq and the neighboring countries, but also to Israel and a broader region. Now, Israel, it looks, has been made to actively review its alliances. So could that be the reason why the Israeli government was so quick in recognizing the creation of a Kurdish state in Iraq? And this is something we're discussing with our guest speaker, retired Brigadier General Shlomo Brom, who is currently Senior Research Associate at the Institute for National Security Studies in Israel.
Situation around Israel is characterized by a very high level of instability. Everyone is looking for some areas where you can achieve stability relatively easily. And it seems that when you are looking generally at the Middle East, then of course some, you know, areas of stability are the non-Arab states in the Middle East, like Turkey, Iran also, and Israel. But to a much extent, it is also true for Kurdistan. So it is natural for Israel, especially if you take into account its past linkage and a good relationship with the Kurdish national movement, to support Kurdish independence.
Sir, but do we need to expect some kind of a domino effect?
Well, the experience so far with the KRG, the autonomous Kurdish region in northern Iraq, is that the neighbors of this autonomy, namely Turkey and Iran, were able to prevent spillover to their own territory. So I tend to believe that they will continue to succeed in preventing this spillover. Of course, if they will deal with their Kurdish populations wisely. For example, I am looking at the attempts that Prime Minister Erdogan is trying to make of providing the Kurds in Turkey with some more kind of cultural autonomy, then the right to speak in their own language, the right to study in their schools in their own language, etc.
Now, some analysts are saying that Israel is being gradually encircled by the regimes that are increasingly hostile towards Israel.
What actually has happened, if you are looking at the last year, is that the relationship between Israel and two of its most important neighbors, namely Egypt and Jordan, only improved. It's the best it was for many years. And one cannot say that Israel was enjoying a friendly relationship with Syria. So the fact that Syria destabilized doesn't make it more hostile to Israel. It was hostile and it remains hostile. And the same is true for Lebanon. And the third point is that there are also, as a result of these events in the Middle East, that there are more common interests of Israel with the Arab Gulf states. And as a result, I think that the relationship between Israel and these states is improving.
Sir, thank you so much. And just to remind you, our guest speaker was Brigadier General Shlomo Brom, Senior Research Associate at the Institute for National Security Studies in Israel. This is Burning Point. We're discussing what kind of new challenges the newly emerging regional architecture in the Middle East poses to Israel. And now for an alternative opinion, here is Dr. Ofra Benjo, Senior Research Fellow at the Moshe Dayan Center for Middle East and African Studies at Tel Aviv University in Israel.
Dr. Benjo, the recognition of Iraqi Kurdish independence by Israel, this position seems to be a little bit different from the U.S. position, which at least the U.S. says that they really want to promote Iraqi territorial integrity.
I think we do not always see eye to eye with the United States policy on many things. So this is one of the areas where Israel do not see probably eye to eye. And one of the reasons is that it seems to me that policy of the United States on Iraq is detached from reality. They can declare day and night that they want Iraqi unity, but Iraqi unity is elusive. It doesn't exist anymore, especially after what ISIS did in Iraq and when all the turbulence is taking place in Iran. So one has to look at the reality as it appears. And our leaders have understood that this is the time to say something about an independent Kurdistan. They didn't say that they are going to support it, but they say that, as I understand it, that they think that Kurdistan is coming to happen. And if it is going to happen, so people and countries and states should support such an entity.
But when we are talking about Iraqi Kurds, of course we know that there are Syrian Kurds, Iranian Kurds, Turkish Kurds. Does that imply that we are going to see more Kurdish independent entities in future?
Not in the shorter run. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see yet a Kurdish state in Iraq. It will take time. They will need to prepare a referendum. They have a lot of challenges yet to go, so we don't see it anymore. But certainly if there is an independent Kurdistan in Iraq, it will be a model for the other Kurds and the other countries. And actually one can say that in Syria, we have already autonomous zones in three areas, three cantons. So the Kurds in Syria are also in a certain way of being more autonomous than the other parts, and they have their own, you know, governments, and they have their own parties, etc. They are in a difficult condition there because of ISIS more than in Iraq, because in Iraq the Kurds are being able to stop the challenge of the ISIS, but in Syria they are still hitting very hard. But in the longer run, as I say, the Kurds of Syria might, you know, the state in Syria is in such a flux, but I think that the next possibility after Iraq, if the Kurds of Iraq gains independence, then Syria might follow suit, but the Kurds of Syria might follow suit. But still, it's a long way. They have to go a long way. And about Turkey and Iran, we'll have to see. But certainly it will give them more food for thought about the possibility of at least self-rule. And I think where it might have great influence among the Kurds of Iran, they are watching what's happening in Iraq and they are willing very much to follow suit. I don't know what will happen in Iran. You know, conventional wisdom has been that any Kurdish state will cause instability, will destabilize the region. But as we are seeing, it's just the opposite. For one decade, we have the Kurds of Iraq just making their region much more stable. And it was Barzani who helped Maliki to have this government built in 2010, and the government in Kurdistan of Iraq, they are having all the refugees, and there are no massacres and nothing which is, you know, we are seeing among the Daesh. On the contrary, what we are seeing is that the Sunni-Shi'i divide, for example, in Iraq, is the source of instability. And so is the case in Syria as well and in other places. So also in Syria, we don't see that the Kurds of Syria are, you know, doing terrible things to their neighbors. On the contrary, they are talking about bringing all the other forces into the government, etc. So I don't buy the idea that any Kurdish state will cause instability, quite the contrary.
Our guest speaker is Dr. Ofra Benjo, Senior Research Fellow at the Moshe Dayan Center for Middle East and African Studies at Tel Aviv University in Israel.
Burning Point.
What does Israel stand to gain from establishing firm relations with a prospective Kurdish state?
First of all, we don't see that the relationship are being established, but if so, we both Israel and Kurdistan are small nations and they do not have the legitimacy of the other countries in the region for them to have a state of their own. So this is already a kind of something that binds us together. And we do not think that Kurdistan will ever do anything against Israel, launch a war. On the contrary, there will be a force of moderation also vis-a-vis Israel. We do not hear, you know, all the day some declarations against Israel, etc. They are not maybe willing to say something positive because of fear of others, but at least there are no, you know, this chorus in all the Arab world and other countries against Israel. So already this is a very good thing. And also they can contain negative forces in Iraq or in other areas. They are, maybe if there is anything, ISIS is very dangerous for Israel, for the whole region, for all the countries, including Turkey and Jordan. So if the Kurds can keep them at bay, is also good for many other forces in the region, not just Israel.
In fact, Dr. Benjo, you anticipated my next question. I was going to ask you about what kind of risk does the ISIS pose for Israel?
Yeah, it's a very big risk. Maybe it's not in the immediate term because ISIS now are in, they are so much involved in doing, in conquering Baghdad or Karbala or fighting the Shi'is, because these are their main enemies. But on the other hand, any success of the ISIS will give further ideas to other Islamists in the region, Hamas, and even not Hamas, just people in the street to try and copy that model and bring the caliphate to Israel as well, the Islamic caliphate, because any success will always bring the possibilities that others will follow, will try to follow that model. And this is not just for Israel, actually for the whole world, because they have their success might have repercussions in Europe, the United States, and Russia too, you know.
But do you think that in those circumstances you could really count on the U.S. support in this case?
If we can count on the United States to contain the ISIS danger, no. We cannot, because the United States has, you know, given up, I think, its involvement in Iraq, even though it says that it is going to send, you know, some experts, etc. But I don't think that the United States, especially not Obama, will try to do anything to contain the ISIS. And he hopes that maybe some others will do the work for the United States. Unfortunately, maybe they are hoping that Iran will help Maliki or whatever government is in Baghdad to do the things, but they are not going to be involved and they are not going to stop the danger unless it comes back to their gate. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's my impression too. But in this case, when we are looking at the new regional architecture as a result of the Arab Spring and of all those actors more or less unexpectedly coming into the scene, how do you see the long-term challenges for Israel, and what could be the ways out for Israel? Does it need to establish new relationships, new alliances? How do you see that?
I think we, maybe Israel is trying to find alliances with, not open ones, of course, more, let's say, behind the scenes with the countries of the Gulf who are afraid of Iran, no less than Israel, but even more. And such more moderate countries such as Egypt, even with all the difficulties where Egypt is in, and continue with Jordan, and maybe even try to find new ways to with Turkey as well, because Turkey is also very much in a very problematic situation with these double dangers from what I call Jihadistan and Shiistan.
Dr. Bengio, thank you so much. And just to remind you, this time our guest speaker was Dr. Ofra Bengio, Senior Research Fellow at the Moshe Dayan Center for Middle East and African Studies at Tel Aviv University in Israel. And with this, we end this edition of Burning Point, brought to you by me, Ekaterina Kudashkina. Thank you so much for staying with us. Goodbye, and take care.